I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. It's Scott. How are you? How is everybody doing? We've got an exciting guest, Susan Rattan, formerly of L.A. Law. If you remember L.A. Law, what a great series. Emmy Award nominated actress multiple times for her role as Corbin Burnson's assistant in that show. And I think she's in the green room. And listen, while we're waiting, don't forget, live podcast, Friendsgiving, Emily Carota, Jackson Douglas, Grant Lee Phillips of Grant Lee Buffalo, and who's the last one? Who's the last one? Sally Struthers, for God's sake. I almost forgot Sally. Sally Struthers is going to join us, the most talented, the funniest, and the strongest woman I have ever met. Because she's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound and pick me up and carry me around a set for 30 minutes at a time. And boy, isn't that a story. But Susan Rattan is going to be joining us any minute. And
I'm here.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Nice meeting you. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being on the podcast. We're excited to have you. We love the episode. It's it was a real kick in the you know what's that whole episode. You played. Well, you were big L.A. Law. I mean, that was a huge series, and yeah. You were nominated multiple times and. I think our producers are trying to figure out what happened between you and Corbin Burnson, or Corbin Burnson and other people, and what didn't he dated around, right? He was a
he was a slut.
Nope,
on the show. I'm not speaking personally.
No, I know. I mean, he's a lovely guy.
He got around. Yeah, he did, right. and Roxanne and Arnie finally hooked up. Which I don't think the audience really liked that. Mm-hmm. I think they felt Roxanne deserved better.
They didn't like why? So why didn't they like that?
I think, as I said, I think they felt Roxanne deserved better. Mm-hmm. They kind of liked the tension between them. You know, that's often the case in shows when two people get together after a long time, kind of dance, and the audiences go, "Well, you know, we kind of preferred it the old way." But it was fine.
Well. Thanks for coming on. Did you watch Road Trip to Harvard? Did you enjoy
it? I did.
Going back.
And I forgot how wonderful that show was.
Right. Right. Well, tell us how you got the part for Gilmore Girls.
For that show, I don't really remember. Uh-huh. You know, it might have been offered, or it probably was at that time offered to do. I don't remember what year that was. Do you?
That was 2001.
Okay, yeah, that was probably
20 years ago. Yeah,
that's a long time
ago. Do you remember about interacting with anybody on the set or who you were?
I just remember that the people, everybody on the show was really nice. Right. They were really welcoming. They really made you feel like you were a part of it, which, you know, doesn't always happen when you're guesting on a show, but that they were really... it comes from the head, you know, the people, the leaders of the show were terrific. Mm-hmm. And that just extended to everybody who came on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was very surprised to get that role. Because it was, you know, that was a time when people from film were crossing over into doing television and the script was of such quality. I figured, well, you know, it's going to have a nice audition and that's going to be it.
Big movie star is going to
be. Right. I mean, it's going to be, a name. They're going to get a name in there, right? And I think, you know, the creators fought for all of us individually. Yeah. Like, no,
you were
thank you. Thank you.
You were like perfect, I think.
I think you're right. I think it was like the one thing of the thousands of auditions I had that I fit perfectly in. Yeah.
Because it's nice when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just get this and you go, oh yeah, this is me.
Yeah. Right. Right. I can do this and I can't see anybody else doing it. And I want to do this. And, you know, and you know how it is. You go in and you're almost right for something, but there's something a little like, eh, you know, and you never get those jobs. You never get those jobs. Isn't that funny how that is? I mean, casting is so ultra specific. It's such a difficult thing to do. And it's the reason they see so many people. It's different now. It's just sort of like you go on.
Oh my gosh.
There's no contact now. It's just you just put yourself on.
You're just like in a barrel somewhere.
Right. That you put yourself on tape and send it in. Right. Exactly. And it's like there's no person-to-person contact. There's no getting to know anybody. There's no vibe.
Yeah, no feedback. No. Right. You know, that was great. Can we try it a different way?
Right.
Sort of thing. It's like you got one shot at it.
Yeah. So I think it'd be better if they just, you know, cast you off your previous work, because that's going to be the best possible tape you have. I mean, you're not going to make anything in your basement that's better than I mean, in my case, it's better than Gilmore Girls. What are they looking for? I mean, I'm not drooling out of one side of my mouth yet. So yeah, I think I can do the part, right?
That's good. You're okay.
Anyway, yes, things have changed. All right. So looking back on this episode, now that we're back to Gilmore, did you laugh out loud when you were watching this episode, Road Trip to Harvard? Tell me about that. What parts got you?
You know, I loved them, you know, their expressions and their responses. It just fed everything. I mean, that person, I mean, she's a relative. I know that person, the person that I played, that person who's so interested in everything you do. And I'd forgotten about that haircut, which is really the same haircut as my haircut I had in the first grade. So that made me laugh. I felt really fond of the show watching it. Like, oh yeah, I remember this. This was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a term I read over the weekend about there's a condition now known as positive toxicity, where somebody is so ultra positive all of the time, it can actually be harmful to the other friends.
I've never heard that.
it's like, why do you blanch when people are just so overwhelmingly positive all the time, even in the face of, you know, where their friend needs support or something terrible happened? They're just like, keep your chin up. Just, you know, this guy.
I have to remember that.
It reminded me of those characters where they're just like completely positive all the time. It kind of makes sense now why Lorelai and Rory were avoiding them, because there was a little level of toxicity there. It's kind of funny.
Yes, there was.
It's very funny.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah.
I loved that episode. I loved them, you know, I loved you in it when you found out that she wasn't going to marry him. And it was so subtle and beautiful.
Put a little zippity back in my doodah, didn't it?
Hmm? Yeah. It did. Yeah, it was great.
That's good.
You were great.
Oh, thank you. You know, I don't remember a single thing about any of these episodes.
You don't?
I never watched them. And, you know, your short-term memory has developed to the point where you just sort of, you know, you get rid of the old stuff to make room for the new dialogue. And you know what that's like. So I don't remember these scenes. And it's like I'm watching another person. It's so odd.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's so odd because I don't know who that is. I'm watching and I'm thinking, God, he's, you know, when I'm good, I'm thinking, wow, that guy's pretty good. And then when I'm bad, I'm like, God, that guy really, that stunk. You know, they shouldn't have kept that take, you know, that kind of thing. But I get all judgy with myself, but not as myself, but I'm looking at another person. Isn't that strange?
Well, that's a problem. You know, I don't watch what I do either.
I don't either.
Because I don't want to be in that moment going, oh God, why did I do that? why was my face like that?
Second guesser's hell. Yeah, you can't do it. That's why I waited 20 years to watch it, and I'm disconnected from it now. And I can sit back and really be critical about it, and in a constructive way. You know, I mean, not be, you know, not try to sugarcoat anything because it doesn't really seem like me. It's
right.
Odd. It's very odd. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right. So look, in this episode, you and your husband grill Lorelai and Rory about their lives. Did you receive any direction that you recall on how to play that scene?
No.
Good.
No.
They trusted you.
You know, I don't know about you, but I find that generally true. What you know, what you bring in is generally what they want. It's like, yeah, they hired you for that reason because you gave them what they wanted and they don't really have to tell you, you know, it might be, you know, don't stand so close or, you know, turn around a little bit, stay out of the camera, you know, just, you know, that kind of thing. But really it's your personality, your nature, your intuitive reaction to the character. Mm-hmm. No, I don't recall any specific direction except sit there. And right. That's it.
Have you ever nailed an audition, gotten the offer, got on set, and you were opposite your scene partner or partners, and it was just felt so wrong that you didn't know how to, because the audition was so smooth and you connected with the reader or whatever, and you can connect with anybody, but then you get there and it's like,
one job like that,
right?
Where I loved the material. My audition was like, couldn't have done it better. Job was mine. I got it. I went to the set. The first rehearsal, the person that I was supposed to have a strong emotional relationship, be his mother, was dead in the water and was hostile. Mm. And it was the most unpleasant. I mean, I just wanted to walk away, but you know, right. You don't do that. No. You keep hoping that somebody's going to bring something out of that person or direct them or let them know that they need to.
Right.
You know, but that was really, I think, the only really bad interaction I ever had. And it was hard. It was hurtful. I cried after it because I couldn't do what I do. I couldn't. It was like acting with a mean brick wall, spikes all over it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, have you, has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. It happened to me over a period of time with the same person. And it's just sort of, it started out so great.
Yeah.
And I mean, just like amazingly well. And then it just devolved into this psychodrama. I mean, it was just really weird over a period of time. And it almost put me off series television.
Yeah, it can do that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it almost. I remember saying to my my team at the time, I said, look, I think I'm kind of done. Gilmore was great, but this happened, and it was like, maybe we should just take a break for a while. You know what I mean? Because that was...
You know, part of that is because when you're, as an actor, you're not just standing there saying lines, you're opening up your heart to whatever, who's ever next to you, whoever you're talking to. They're true emotions. They're not, it's not like fake anything.
Right.
So when somebody doesn't respond to you or blocks you...
That's such a good point. That's such a good point. It's such a good point. You know, yeah, that interaction amongst the cast is crucial.
Yeah.
It's crucial. And you do form families. They don't last, you know. Maybe once in a while you have a lasting friendship with somebody, but you do form these little tribes, and they're important. Yes. They're important support systems that are woven together, you know, one kindness or one gesture at a time, one successful scene after another, and they just build and build and build. And I mean, the experience started out just wonderful. It was just wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you could hear the screeching brakes and it just went down. And I just couldn't wait for it to end. And I was so glad that it didn't get picked up. You have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To think that you might have to do that for 7 years.
Oh, my goodness. I've never been so happy in my life. My manager called me and said, I got good news and bad news. I said, what's the bad news? The series got canceled. I said, that's the best news I've
heard. That's the good news.
What's the good news? She goes, the series got canceled. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
So you've been constantly working. I mean, do you always have the next job lined up?
Oh, no, definitely not. I don't really work as much anymore. I mean, I work, but I don't work like I don't want to work so much anymore. Let me say that.
Right.
I'm enjoying my life. I'm writing. I'm working on a project, developing a project. We got a deal on it. I want to take time to do the things that I love to do. Mm-hmm. The jobs that I take, I love doing them. But I don't want to work all the time. I like to recur on things. That's my idea of a good life. Call me when you need me. I do love to work. I'm actually looking. I haven't done a play in years. And I just worked on a show with a fellow who played my husband, David Wells, and wonderful actor. And we became friends. When you talk about being friends, we became friends. We had an arduous job that we had to do. And through that, we supported each other. And he brought me a play that someone had written. And we're going to start working on it.
Oh, good. Oh, that's exciting.
So, you know, good things come at you. These things happen. You just keep finding the things that make you happy.
Right. It's like when I thought of this podcast. It's kind of a funny story because I thought it was some incredibly original idea that hit me in the middle of the pandemic, right? And I was not aware that there were, like, you know, 90,000 of these rewatch podcasts going on at the time. So I called Amy, the producer of this, and I said, listen, I have this idea. Lightning has struck. I have this idea. And when she came back very quickly and said, look, we have a deal. Let's do it. I was shocked. I was shocked. And then I realized there was like 30, 40 of them or more. Way more. But it's always nice to work. It's always nice to have a job.
Yes. Well, especially when you're having fun with it.
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Oh, it's a blast. Yes. It's a blast. Because I'm also a producer on it. And it's like, you know, all the guests are so much fun, and they're so happy to be talking about the show and their experiences. And it's a true gift. It really is. So let me ask you, you've been on shows like Grey's Anatomy, 9-1-1, and Mom. Mm-hmm. And has there been a show that stands out more than the others in terms of the times that you spent on set and the memories that you took away from it?
Mom was one of my favorite shows, working with Anna and everybody else on the show. I was really sad. You know, I was recurring on that show, and I was really sad when Anna decided to go off and do what she needed to do. I was sad for myself, not for her. She's, you know, she had other things to happen.
So she left the series after a couple of years, couple seasons?
Before the last season.
How long did it go?
I think it was six seasons.
So six seasons total. She left after the fifth.
Yeah. She, you know, she had whatever it was, it was her life, you know, and she had things to do, but I was really sad not to get to play with her anymore on that show. It was a great relationship. Mm-hmm. And there have been endless shows that I've had wonderful times on. I've been working on United States of Al, recently, and that's a wonderful group. I mean, Chuck Lorre has great sets. You know, he's a terrific fellow. He's mindful of everybody's needs. He's so brilliant. I'm just privileged to be a part of that.
Let me ask you, since we're talking a little bit about longevity in the business, when you got the role of Roxanne on L.A. Law, did you know that you were going to be doing that role for 150 episodes? Did you have any inkling?
No. Hmm. No, I didn't think about it. I got to tell you, I never really thought of acting as a career. I just sort of fell into it. So I never thought anything about long-term. I thought, oh, this is fun. I'm doing this now. I'm not like in the future. I just was there. It was, you know, that show... You know, that Roxanne, that character, was my other half. You know, she was that part of me that didn't get presented all the time. Roxanne was sometimes hard for me to talk about that show because emotionally I was so deeply connected to it. Mm-hmm. Everybody in it, everybody was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Again, a show where the set, there were no issues. Everybody genuinely liked each other. Huh. We had parties, we had dinners, we had, you know, we didn't go home and forget about it.
Right. Gosh. Yeah. Different times, huh?
Yeah.
Different
much
times.
Different.
Yeah, different times. Yeah, you know, I remember once one of my teachers in New York said to me, Scott, be careful what you do in the business, right? Mm-hmm. Because you only have so many performances inside you. Mm. And, you know, when we were all, you know, training in New York and doing our theater and that whole deal, we had this kind of attitude, this position we took against TV. Because of the repetitive nature of it, and you have to do this care. If you get a series, you're going to be on it for, you know, potentially, you know, 2, 3, 5, 7 years, whatever it is. And, you know, we were warned about this, that you're not going to be able to do the great roles. You're not going to be able to do the roles you want to do. You're going to do this one role that you want to do at the time, but then 7 years later, you're going to evolve as a person, but you keep having to go back and dip into the same well.
Right.
And, you know, careful, it could rob you of whatever gift you have been given to portray all these different characters if you're so inclined that you want to have a varied career. You know what I mean? And man, was she right. Because at the end of Gilmore, I was like, wow, I need a break. It's like when you get to the point where you're right, acting shouldn't be a job.
Right.
It shouldn't be a daily job, but it is, right? So how do you, so the hard part about TV, and I know you went through this, is how do you keep it fresh? How do you stay inspired? And when it becomes a burden, when it becomes like, oh, it's my job and,
yeah,
you know, the glow.
There are those, you know, you take those jobs and sometimes that's just about money. You know, they're offering you a lot of money to do something that may not be, you know, the biggest heart thing in the world, but you'll do it because sometimes you do have to do a job or you want to do the job or whatever. But you know, I think the thing is to keep your heart intact, you know, to keep present emotionally with every role. In LA Law, one of the things that I was grateful for was that the character evolved. She was not the same person at the end of the show as she was at the beginning. She grew as a human being. And that, see, that doesn't always happen on a series.
No, it doesn't.
So yeah. In that sense, I was extremely lucky.
Right.
Do you feel like your character on the show like grew and changed?
Oh, without question. Without question.
Yeah. And that's, it's like you get to live the life of another person.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Right.
That's what is great for actors. We get to be all these other people, experience their trials and tribulations and loves and losses and then go back to our own. It's like if they're really bad, you can leave those behind.
Yeah, I think we were all excited to come back and do the reboot with Netflix in 2016 because there was, you know, there was still a lot of life left in the characters.
Yeah.
And in the story. And we weren't... what's the term? We weren't really artistically bankrupt as much as maybe we thought we were at the end of the run of the series. Because some people had some pretty empty gas tanks, artistically speaking, and needed to, you know, explore greener pastures. And I fully understand and support that.
It's so wonderful you're doing this.
You know, the fans need content. They're not getting any content. I mean, this is a fan base that is so utterly devoted and for obvious reasons, and they're not getting any content. It must be so frustrating. And now I get how they feel. I mean, it must be so frustrating just loving something so much, and it's just unrequited year after year, and you live on hope, and you live on hope, and just nothing happens. And then you get this reboot, which was kind of like, I don't know, right? It was meh a little bit. And so they want more. They want better. And so I'm just...
And you're giving it to them.
Well, I'm doing my little part. No, we are. You and I are giving it to them now.
Okay,
we're doing our part, right? Listen, this has been fun. We'd love to have you back It was really nice talking to you. You're also. You are a delight. And thank you.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you. You too. And you're a true artist. You're a true actor. I can tell just from the short conversation we had. Keeping it real. Keeping that flame alive. So all the best to you, Susan. And thank you for coming on. And thank you for your wonderful work throughout your career. And especially on this show, on this episode, it was terrific.
You're a doll. Thank you so much.
All right, sweetheart. All the best. All right, bye. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.